stuff all over the world, and keeping our regular weekly Gibraltar themes going. Great excitement, phenomenal excitement, because Gibraltar, that 3 mile wonderful part of the globe, is into its fifth Gibraltar Literary Festival, and it just gets better and better, because one of the leading lights who's actually going to be at the Gibraltar Literary Festival, and she's with us now, is the amazingly talented, phenomenal Renaissance woman. She is Maureen Lipman. How are you, Maureen?
Oh, I'm better for hearing that. Thank you.
Wonderful to connect with your good self. And let's move straight into the Gibraltar Festival, because, as I say, every Thursday one of my students, Gabriella Peralta with the Gibraltarian Chronicle, is doing magical things. She was very excited by this. This is the fifth festival. Have you been to Gibraltar before, Maureen?
I think I've been to four.
Oh,
I'd have to be, I might have only been to three, but I think I've been to four.
Right.
I remember staying on the ship.
Yes.
I remember staying at the Rock. And now I'm at the Coletto. It could be that I stayed on the ship twice. And I judge most festivals by my accommodation.
And how does the Gibraltarian accommodation fit with yourself? Can you reveal anything at this stage, or is it a case of, no, just to hold back a few moments?
Well, the ship was pretty funny, because everything in the bedroom was computerized. I tried to turn the light out and open the curtains and open the door and summon a waiter and ask for a penguin. And it was all done on remote control, so that was quite funny. But it's very glamorous, very sort of, you know, you feel like you're in an episode of some American gangster movie there. It's lovely. And then the Rock is quite, stately, and that was nice. And now I'm at the Coletto, which is about to undergo a great change and be turned into something out of a James Bond movie. So all of that is fine, but basically there's like no other literary festival. I go to most of them, and most of them are in a wet tent in the town hall. But this is, they wine you and they dine you, and you drink wonderful orange liqueurs, and you meet the same people, but you meet new people, and it's a very eclectic mix of writers, going from crime writers. They do a sort of workshop on crime, and then lots of historical plays. If you're a student of history, this is the literary festival for you, because there's always, you know, something this year, Lawrence Rees on the Holocaust, and he's interviewed survivors and lots of Nazis, and made films, and that. So he should be very interesting. And then you've got sort of regulars like Nicholas Parsons, who at 92, or maybe even
Nicholas keeps on going, as I like to say. It's not so much it's not so much just a minute; it's just a century with Nicholas.
Exactly, and he's as straight as die, in his lovely, crisp, blue and white clothes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Wife Annie is the secret weapon, of course.
Oh, well, of course.
We do love that. Just a minute is, you either love it or you don't, but
without deviation, hesitation, or repetition, those words are embedded within the English language.
Absolutely,
critical.
Yes.
And so moving on, I will actually flag up the fact one of these days we must get you up to the Lincoln Literary Festival. There are no tents there. You've got wonderful castles and cathedrals, Maureen, so we must sort of...
I think I've only ever passed through Lincoln once when I went over the bridge from Hull.
Yes, well, this is it, you see. It has changed considerably, and that's why I shall set the campaign now. Maureen Lipman is needed to come to it. We need you in Lincoln. But let's...
Is your team doing well?
Lincoln City currently are not quite well. Who knows what could happen? They're not going to have the same FA Cup run that they had last season, because they're out of that tournament. But they are in the league, and who knows what the Cowley brothers will actually bring to bear.
Oh, I don't know about the Cowley brothers.
Oh, the former Braintree schoolmasters who went into education. Who one day might be at the Gibraltar Literary Festival. Let's keep on topic for the moment. The Gibraltar Literary International Festival, as you say, the fifth one that's actually there. Do you get a chance to actually sit in on some of the other contributors, because we've got, as you say, a wide... Anne Widdecombe's there. You mentioned Nicholas Parsons, of course, a range of other factors.
There is an Anne Widdecombe here, yes. Mm. I just saw her over dinner last night. She does write books, novels, doesn't she, now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do get a chance. I shall go and see Nicholas today.
Yes.
Just to see if he deviates. I probably go to see Lady Carnarvon, who's talking about the real Downton Abbey. And I would definitely have gone to see Jenny Murray if I was still here, because that would be of interest, 21 women who made the century.
Exactly.
And Chris Tony Hawk's is always funny.
Yes.
I mean, he's the guy who dragged the fridge around Ireland. So I would definitely go and see him. But, you know, one of the problems is that you have to do things like this, and so you miss
Maureen, the sacrifices.
Patrick Gale, who is on this morning, who I would have gone to see.
Sacrifices that are being made. Kate Adey, of course, lass from Sunderland, even further north than Hull. So it's nice to see that the northerners are still civilising folk from that point of view. You can obviously find out more about the Gibraltar Literary Festival by going online, gibraltarliteraryfestival.com. We have a student, actually, a graduate from Sunderland University, actually, with us in the studio this morning, Maureen. Lauren. Lauren, any questions for Maureen that you'd like to put about life, the universe, and various other factors? I haven't even mentioned the former Telecom British connection, which is,
would you mention that?
Why? Why would I?
I see no reason on earth that you would have to mention a job I did 25 years ago.
I know.
If you must, then I will do my best to answer civilly.
I was just thinking, I cannot believe.
It is that long ago. In fact, the boy who played my grandson in, Ology, whatever it was, I went to see him the other night in Oslo. He's a middle-aged man now with three children, and he's starring in the play Oslo with Toby Stevens. His name is Jacob Kruczewski, and I took with me the originator of the BT commercials, Richard Phillips, who literally could not believe his eyes. There was this little boy, and here is this man with a thinning hair and a beard, rather handsome, and just, you know, it was a reunion after all those years. So, yes, I did do that.
I'm sure there are a whole heap of things. Of course, there's the National Theatre's Oklahoma, a fantastic work within that.
I've just been directing my late husband's play, The Knowledge, in the West End at Charing Cross Theatre, and that's been one of the most pleasurable things I have ever done, to watch people roaring with laughter at Jack's words that were written 30 years ago was something of a treat.
As indeed many playwrights have shown, the words live on, the echoes through time, they're carved out of history. Lauren, any brief questions for Maureen at this stage? She's just shocked with the whole thing. We're going to talk about Lauren's work with Baskin Bryan in the next part of the programme. Maureen, if folk are listening
to... Did you give her a chance to ask that question, or did you say no?
We had a shaking of the head. It was a non-verbal communication. But
right.
it's the pressure of time, that sort of odd, sort of ever-ticking clock. Let's move on in terms of the Literary Festival. Will you be booking in for Gibraltar for next year, Maureen, for 2018?
I don't think it functions without me. I think they just, you know, they set aside in another festival, and then they think, right, we'll ring Maureen and see if that's okay. Last year I was in Panto at Richmond, so I didn't make it last year. It was sad. You know, 14 shows a week, you're probably not going to have the time to go to Gibraltar.
Well, if it helps, as we look through our archives, Nicholas Parsons did a brave... He stepped into your routine well last year, so that was good. So,
we're never seen together. We are interchangeable, Nicholas and I.
And on that tremendous bombshell, we have to say two final questions. Maureen Lipman, first of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic connection with us from Gibraltar today on the programme? Has it been okay with you?
Absolutely, yes, fine.
This is good. It's customer satisfaction these days, you see. In the 21st century, I feel even the media has to constantly be looking at feedback processes, forms, and so on. Next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future?
Oh, I wouldn't miss it for the world, Alex.
Oh, it's a round of applause for Maureen Lipman, please. Yes, yay! Oh, the sound of applause in the dark. Gibraltar Literary Festival continues ever onwards. Just enough time, actually, Maureen, if you're still there, to sort of do it's between the 16th and the 19th of November. So as we speak today, if you want to fly,
get on a plane fast, if you want to catch it.
Precisely. Yeah. But it is possible.
But I'm sitting looking at the most glorious scenery. The rock is behind my head, and it's magnificent. It's the eighth wonder of the world. Just get here.
Exactly.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium. Hang on. Slow down. Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution,
oh,
then
right.
you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
How's the chemotherapy going to make me feel?
Is your mum going to get better?
Can I go on that cancer drug trial I read about?
When do I know if my cancer's gone for good?
If you or your loved ones have questions about cancer, Cancer Research UK can help you find the answers. With years of research behind us, we can give you the expert guidance and information you need. Just go online and search Cancer Research UK today.
And with particularly apt timing, we're delighted now to be able to welcome from Newcastle Hospital, where he's the head of medical oncology, the fabulous Dr. Mark Verrill. Good morning, Dr. Verrill. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. Good news, for once, hopefully, with respect to this, because we have a new drug that's been released from those suffering from the most common form of breast cancer, and it's likely to be available on the NHS. So the first drug to be reviewed and cleared through the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, or NICE. Would you like to share with us more of the positivity about this addition to, hopefully, the battle against cancer?
Yes, there's a lot of interest in a new type of drug. They're technically called CDK4/6 inhibitors, and they work in a completely different way from anything that we've had before, and they work on hormone receptor positive breast cancer, so that's sensitive to estrogens. And we know from the trials that have been done, and actually we took part in one of the largest trials, that if you have a woman who's diagnosed with recurrent breast cancer that's hormone receptor positive, with the treatments that we had available up to now, we could control the disease for about a year. And with the treatments that have just been made available by NICE, and the one that you mentioned that's come through very quickly is ribociclib, we can control the disease for getting on for 2 years. And that means for those women, very good quality of life, because it's a tablet treatment, it's not chemotherapy, it doesn't have the nasty side effects, and it enables them to do the things that they want to do, meet their goals, birthdays, anniversaries, and overall really helps us to control the disease in a way that's relatively free of side effects.
We heard, as I mentioned, from the Cancer UK people who were running the brand from that point of view. I mean, no matter how much we try to sort of say, oh, it's okay, things are sorted, clearly this disease can have a devastating effect on individuals. And one of the things that interested me about this, Mark, was the line that the drug does offer women the possibility of living on average about 2 years without their degrees progressing. So effectively, it almost manages to put a kind of pause on the whole process, doesn't it?
It does, and when I'm sitting in clinic, I talk about keeping a lid on the disease, because we know that we're highly unlikely to be able to afford cure, But across the board in breast cancer, we're seeing really exciting new developments, and we're extending life. So we talk about survival in years, disease control in years, and we're setting very optimistic goals for these women. And often they come in with the expectation, the cancer's back, it means I'm going to have horrible chemotherapy treatment and I'm not going to live for very long. But now we can say, actually, no, we don't need to give you chemotherapy. We've got better drugs. We've got targeted drugs. And you're likely to live for a long time. And we are very ambitious and very optimistic in clinics in a way that we just couldn't have been a few years ago.
As we mentioned earlier, when we were speaking with Maureen Lipman in Gibraltar, we have in the studio a co-host today, Lauren, who looks after marketing for Ask and Brian College. Lauren, I don't know if you know anybody who's actually suffering from cancer or working through that, but what have you thought about this particular story?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how we lost my grandma about 5 or 6 years ago, and it seems like if this drug was around then, she probably would have lasted a little bit longer. So it's just fantastic news, really, that some people get that chance that unfortunately she didn't get.
Which I think is probably a tale we'll hear quite a lot, Mark, as far as the old classic line, if only it had actually been around. Do you, wearing your hat as being head of the Department of Medical Oncology, do you get a sense that actually, you know, we will be able to maybe even in this century, say, that's it, cancer, it's history, we've got it sorted now? I mean, are the improvements literally getting to the stage where, you know, people don't have to have that sort of notion of it being a death sentence?
I think we are getting better across a number of fronts, and one of the questions that comes up is, will there ever be a cure for cancer? And the answer to that is there will never be a cure, but across multiple fronts in many different diseases, because of the pace of scientific program and our much better understanding of the differences between cancer cells and normal cells, we now have literally hundreds of targeted therapies in development in clinical trials, increasingly coming through into routine treatment, that are just gradually extending the time for which individuals with all types of cancer, not just breast cancer, are living. And it's a real revolution, and it's driven by greater scientific understanding.
And as we mentioned, the name of the drug is ribociclib or ribociclib, etc. Initially, I thought, is that some derivative of ribena? No, obviously, the wrong thing entirely. Ribociclib, from that perspective, available on the NHS, which is great news. Is there a contact or is there a web address or a place, Mark, that you'd recommend people should actually go to find out more details about? I mean, either check it out via NICE, the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, or indeed the Department of Medical Oncology at Newcastle Hospital.
Yeah, we tend not to post patient-specific information, but the NICE website will contain the NICE guidance, and there's a professional and a patient website. It's also really worthwhile visiting Cancer Research UK, because they keep an eye on developments coming through. They have trial listings. They give very good up-to-the-date information about new developments. And some of the breast cancer charities will be picking up on this story. So Breast Cancer Now, for instance, will have information on their websites. Also, if you live near a Maggie's centre, you can drop into your local Maggie's and get information from them.
Dr. Mark Farrell, as we expected, a comprehensive and fulsome series of responses there to a very challenging aspect of the human condition. I think if time allowed, we actually might talk about selenium and that sort of relationship as a possible nutritional package with respect to cancer. But for the moment, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning? Has it been okay for you?
It's been very good, thank you.
Excellent. So hopefully in the not-too-distant future, with the continuing good news, we'll be able to invite you back and you'll be able to talk more about how things are developing. And again, the excellent work that you do up at Newcastle Hospital. I mean, we're currently in the James Cook University Hospital, actually in Teesside, so it's quite nice to actually see that the North is taking a bit of a lead in this. It's all good.
It is.
Dr. Mark Farrell, many thanks indeed. Take care now. Tell me how you wanna roll.
wanted to do. Tell me, how about you?
Time going all the way, Madonna, and 4 minutes. A little more than 4 minutes, but a few more days, actually. December the 3rd, Sunday, December the 3rd, is going to be a magical time. Why is it going to be a magical time, Lauren Watson?
Well, it's the annual Frost Fair at Stewart Park, so it's our kind of Christmas annual event. It's kind of like the monthly farmers markets, but with a Christmassy twist. So lots of the same food stalls that are there every month, also with the added Christmas craft stalls in the visitor centre. The Friends of Stewart Park put on a Santa's Grotto, so you can go there and get a selection box and meet Santa Claus. And then the exciting part this year is that we'll be opening up the Central Lodge for the public. So between 11 and 1, the building will be open. It'll be slightly less than a normal tour, but there'll be a few rooms open in the downstairs area. We'll also have the dairy open, and I believe that we'll be doing, on the hour, we'll be doing talks about the history of the park.
Which is excellent. Now, I do know from our very own Rob Nichols, who just sent an email in, so apologies, can't make today, but he has downloaded some audio files that I sent him, which is good, that he was blown away with the tremendous work that's been done in the whole, I refer to it as the restoration project.
Yeah.
So the fact that the public can actually go and see this, now, I mean, obviously it's being used by students from Askham Bryan.
It is,
so
yes.
They're in place there and sorted through there. Was there a sadness when you said farewell to the final hard-hatted workman and construction worker?
Yeah, it was really sad to say goodbye to them. A few of them came back for our opening event, so we had our official opening on the 2nd of November for the dignitaries. Simon Clark, the MP, came and opened the building, and so we got to see a lot of familiar faces from the building side then, which was nice.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose they're doing something else now. As regular listeners to the Siren FM studios will actually know, probably they're just outside our studio now. It's amazing when you actually have those sort of construction things happening. Do you know, little confession, Lauren, I've never actually been to one of those frost fairs at Stewart Park, so I think I've got to put that right on December the 3rd,
yes.
Clearly.
Yes, you definitely need to come.
It's a tough call because same weekend in Manchester, for the love of sci-fi, we've got David Hasselhoff and William Shatner in the same building. We've also got, and I have to remind folk as well, the Lincoln Food and Gift Fair that's taking place. So there's stacks of stuff that's actually on the East Coast, Manchester and beyond. But I think obviously loyalty would say we should actually make an effort to be at the Frost Fair, etc.
Yes,
otherwise, so. Clearly, I'll get nothing from Santa whatsoever. So no change there then. No, good stuff. If people actually want to see the building at other times, I mean, clearly it's used by Askham Bryan College. It's a teaching venue for it from that point of view. But there's a whole area of Stewart Park which, I've got to admit, until I actually went along and see it, I wasn't even aware it existed. Mm-hmm. So there's the cafe and all sorts of things. So let's make Fran proud.
Yes.
What sort of things can the general public actually do and get up to there?
So the visitor centre is open every day, as is the cafe. So the visitor centre's got some games to play. In the Easter, summer holidays, things like that, there's activities. And in terms of the Central Lodge, we will be opening this up a little bit more now that all the work's done. We'll be offering history tours, much like our hard hat tours. There'll be some evenings, weekends and out of term time. So basically any time the students aren't there and we can get a little look around.
You came, of course, to Stewart Park as a graduate from the University of Sunderland, where your first degree was in?
History.
Exactly. So has this been a bit of a dream job for yourself? I mean,
yeah.
I know you're still there, etc., but actually living that relatively recent history and actually seeing all these things being unpeeled and so on?
Yeah, I mean, even though I did history, I kind of always knew I wanted to go into a their marketing role, and this really has combined both things together just perfectly. So it's a very unique job. I know I won't get another one quite like this, so I'm trying to make the most of it.
And of course you're booked to be the publicist for the next year's Gibraltar Literary Festival, which, as we heard from Maureen, has got a literary theme as well, so it's all good stuff. Okay, looking ahead, Mark Foster, former world champion swimmer and Olympian, burst onto the international swimming scene at the age of 16, represented England at the 1986 Commonwealth Games, before you were born, Lauren, I suspect. I was still around there. Went on to represent the country for 23 years and became Britain's most decorated male swimmer. And Mark will be talking about Alcohol Awareness Week, because we are actually in the middle of that. And YouGov research for Drink Aware has revealed that middle-aged men are more likely to drink harmful levels of alcohol than women due to social pressures. Lauren, we were talking about this before, and you were saying actually students as well sometimes get caught up in this whole notion of go on, have another one, etc. It's not good.
No, I think it's definitely with Freshers Week and also with the different societies at university that seems to be the growing pressures.
Interesting. Anyway, we'll find out what Mark's got to say about this and discuss the Drink Compare calculator, which has actually been launched to find out how people drinking habits compares around the country. It's kind of league table you don't really want to be top of, really, but we'll find out some of the lines with that with Mark Foster, former world champion swimmer, and indeed Ben Butler from Drink Aware.
Without conviction, I'm a man.
back in the 80s. 1980s, I suppose, to 1880s. Boy George and Karma Chameleon. We forgot one important thing when we were talking about Ask and Brian. How can people get in touch with the Ask and Brian folk at Stewart Park? What's the best way, Lauren Watson?
So for just general queries, we've got an email address, centrallodge@askham-brian.ac.uk. But for information on the Frost Fair, if you want to go onto Facebook, onto the Stewart Park Facebook page, or the Northern Dales Farmers Market page, which are the people who provide all the food stalls, either of those pages will have information on the event.
Well, you mentioned, of course, the awesome Fran. We should mention the awesome Vince as well, actually,
yes,
because he does a lot of the web online stuff, I believe.
He does more of the archiving, so
does
I
he?
Look after
right.
the social media, the website.
That's okay, then.
He does all of the research and the archiving and helping with the interpretation, so he's busy away in the office doing that today.
I was going to say, I'd hate you to get back to the office and say, sorry, Vince, I just didn't mention you at all, basically. So it's all there. It's now been done. We can tick that box quite happily.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245 grams of magnesium, 3
grams of magnesium. Hang on. I've got a pen.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution,
oh,
then
right.
you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Yeah. small boat made of china is going nowhere on the mantelpiece. Well, do I lie like a lounge room lizard, or do I sing like a bird released? Everywhere you go, always take the weather.
Last on Radio 4, who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me. Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at a television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what you did there? Yeah. Yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
And the pill, you always play the field. this is Liquid. Ring a ding a ding. And I want those 3 grand band tickets, man. What do you think? Time.
I woke up again this morning with the sun in my eyes. When Mike came over with a script surprise. A mafioso story with a twist. A two-war fool, Julie, you are here to get your ass out of bed. He said, I'll explain it on the way.
But we did nothing.
Or indeed any age after 26 as well, drinking in LA for our Los Angeles correspondents there. And tying in with something we've been talking about this morning, in other words, the YouGov survey research into drink aware that reveals that middle-aged men are more likely to drink harmful levels of alcohol rather than women due to social pressures. So we've already heard from Lauren that actually it also impacts students as well, so it's not necessarily the age thing. To address this, we're delighted to welcome two fine folk. First of all, Director of Marketing and Communications at Drink Aware, the wonderful Ben Butler. Good morning, Ben.
Excellent. Good to touch base with yourself. And a former world champion swimmer and Olympian. 1986 was the year that was made for him in so many ways. Mark Foster, how are you, Mark?
Morning, very well, thank you.
Good, excellent. Ben, if we can come to you first. Alcohol Awareness Week, we're right in the middle of this, or coming to the end of this whole system. And it's not good pouring poison into your system because other people say, yes, you got to get completely bladdered tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, our research found that almost half of men between the age of 35 and 75 who drink alcohol do so in order not to be left out or to fit in. And that's compared to just a third of women of the same age. And as you mentioned, actually, worryingly, half of the men who are drinking due to these social pressures are doing so at harmful levels. So actually, they are maybe drinking more than they wish to because of this social pressure, and they're actually building up harms for the future.
I mean, Mark, from your own perspective, I mean, clearly the when you are in the athletic mode, there's nothing you can actually, you've got to watch everything from that point of view. But when you've left it to one side, did you find that you were sort of suffering from the notion of, oh, well, you know, I drink to forget now, basically?
No, I can't forget all those years of pounding up and down the pool. I found it very, I was very fortunate. I found a sport which is like a game, and it was I was a big kid. That did my love and my joy, my passion became my job. Mm-hmm. Now, when I finished, and even when I was competing, we'd still go out from time to time. But I suppose what I'd learnt is moderation and about choice and healthy habits. And I'd go to the pub when I was even competing. A lot of my friends were drinkers, and I'd sit down and I'd have a pot of tea while they had a couple of pints. Or I'd have a lime and soda. And that's not saying I wouldn't have a pint, but I realised I had a goal and a dream, and those it wasn't conducive with that. But also my friends always sort of said to me, by hanging around me, they drank a little bit less, in a good way. They became a little bit more conscious. And this is about making people conscious and aware that having that one drink less, this is not about telling people not to drink whatsoever. We're not the boring people. But it's having one drink less can make a huge difference to how productive you are, sleeping better, and an easy one to look at is how many less calories that you're going to be taking on.
Yeah, well, certainly, I mean, prohibition, as it turned out in the States, didn't really work apart from generating news for gangsters, but that's another line. Lauren, just share with us the time as a student. I mean, you felt this in terms of pressures during Freshers Week as well, really.
Yeah, I mean, I would say through Freshers Week, but also through just the full uni experience. Mm. It doesn't end just after Freshers. I mean, I wasn't part of any societies, but I know the initiation processes could be a little bit intense.
And Ben, from your own perspective, given that, you know, we've got young people here who become middle-aged people, we hope, unless they've drunk themselves to death before then, it is a case of getting into good habits across society, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, as we found out, you know, this social pressure does exist. You know, we were talking particularly about age, the older drinkers, but we know it's even higher. That pressure is even higher amongst younger people like Lauren at university. And it is about how you deal with that pressure. You know, no one should feel pressure to drink if they don't want to. We know from the trends, actually, more and more young people particularly are choosing not to drink at all or to cut back. So actually, it's about empowering people to take those decisions, making sure that alcohol's not the center point of any social gathering. Mm. It's about the other things. It's about the music, the people you're with, the environment you're in.
And as I always
think, if you think about it also, like when you do grow up, we all experience it. Life's about experiencing things, and then it's about choices, whether you like that experience or not. And we've all had the night where we woke up with the worst hangover, said never again. I'm not saying you do not do it ever again, but you sort of learn from it a little bit. And I think the thing is, you know, you should be able to have your own voice, have your own, make your own choices. And that's what I sort of say is, it's just, if you're getting to the end of the night or having that one extra drink, just occasionally have a glass of water or choose a different drink, or occasionally don't go out. But I do understand that there is sort of social pressures on people, but I think people also are waking up a little bit more around, you know, we've had a shift with smoking, we've had a shift with fitness, and I think there will be a shift around drink. But it's not saying people won't drink again, but they just become more conscious and aware of how harmful it is.
It's all down to quality of life, and as has often been said, that if alcohol was just introduced as a new wonderful drug into the market, it would be banned immediately. So it's another line entirely. Let's talk about the drink compare calculator briefly, Ben. I was thinking, this is the league table. You don't really want to be top of, really, in terms of comparing drinks and so on. But how would you say the drink compare calculator can actually serve as an asset in this campaign?
Well, I'm slightly biased, but this Drink Compare Calculator is a wonderful tool. If you go to the Drinkware website, drinkware.co.uk, you can go in and you can look at your drinking across a given week. You can see how the units and the calories add up. You can see what potential health problems you might be storing up. But as you mentioned, you can see how you compare to the rest of the nation. Is my drinking as average as perhaps I think it is? The best thing about it is it also enables you to say, well, what if I did have one drink or two drinks less, as Mark mentioned? Will I see my my calories drop? How better will I be in the future? Will I have reduced my risk of illness? So we're encouraging everyone, before the party season gets in full flow and before Christmas imminently comes upon us, just do a quick assessment of your drinking, see how you're doing, and then if you are planning on making some changes in the new year, you'll know exactly what steps to take.
And possibly the line, choose the booze you lose, could be put together in terms of sporting scenarios there. Just a little strap line there.
Right. We'll take that.
We like to provide a certain amount of a line from that. Clearly one of the things, Mark, you're going to be faced with from lots of radio stations during the whole thing, 51 international medals, 5 Olympics, 6 times world champion, 11 times. It's just awesome. Awesome in so many ways. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Mark Foster?
Have I had a what?
Has it been okay for you? Has it been reasonably okay?
No, Alice, you've been great.
That's okay.
I think the bottom line is you get the message across and you spell it out to people, and I think then people can make their choice.
And it's been alcohol-free as well. We haven't had any alcohol in the studio in any way, shape or form, and I'm sure Rachel would keep it an alcohol-free zone in London as well. Ben, has it been okay for you?
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Good, in which case, hopefully, we might be able to connect it once again in the not-too-distant future with Mark Foster, ace swimmer extraordinaire, world champion, and Ben Butler. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Have an amazing day.
You.
Bye.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Yo, yeah. This is my Clef Refuge. On this road, I got my girl L. One time. Hey yo, L, you know you got the lyrics.
Do, do, do. I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers.
would finish, but he just kept right on strumming my pain with his fingers.
Certainly there are many folk who still say Roberta Flack actually had the best version, the original version of Killing Me Softly. Fugees there. Which, of course, alcohol does kill you softly. Anyway, let's move on. Already we've looked at alcohol, we've looked at cures for cancer or delaying cancer, we've had the Gibraltarian Literary Festival, and clearly woven into all of those things we've had the sheer magic of the Askham Bryan location at Stewart Park, with, of course, the December the 3rd event, very much to the fore, the Frost Fair. Possibly with some genuine frost as well, I would have thought.
Oh, probably. It's frosty already. So.
Do you have chestnuts roasting on open fires at such things?
I think we do, yes.
Oh, there we are. Another reason to actually head there. A reason to head off to San Francisco might well be the Rugby World Cup Sevens tournament. Are you a rugby person at all, Lauren?
I'm not, unfortunately.
No, it's okay. Well, this might convert you, because it's a 2018 Rugby Sevens tournament. It's celebrating the 135th anniversary. So, literally, just before I was born. For the first time, the USA will host the Rugby Sevens World Cup, and all four countries this side of the Atlantic have taken, have qualified to take part in the Rugby Sevens tournament. That's England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales. And we'll be speaking to the Senior Vice President of Giants Enterprises, Stephen Revetria, and Joe D'Alessandro, who's President and Chief Executive Officer of San Francisco, after this.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna meet some gentle people in motion,
And if you're playing rugby sevens, you would be in motion, clearly, much better than leaving your heart in San Francisco, which clearly everybody will do. 50 years, of course, since the Summer of Love, the 135th Rugby Sevens anniversary tournament. And what better way to celebrate this than to get two sensational individuals with us. First of all, the President and Chief Executive Officer of San Francisco Travel. That would be the fabulous Joe D'Alessandro. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you.
And the equally wonderful and fabulous Senior Vice President of Giants Enterprises, that would be Stephen Rivetria. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, good, well, thanks.
Excellent. Joe, if we can come to you, the Rugby Sevens coming to San Francisco without American football protection pads, it's wonderful.
It's much more exciting to watch, you know. It's a relatively new game for a large part of the American audience, and I think that it's going to be exciting, and there's no place better to host this than in San Francisco.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, there are those of us, obviously, this side of the pond that will pick up on things like the old Streets of San Francisco movie, the notion
exactly.
of the Summer of Love, and so on and so forth. But, you know, rugby... How did you get into rugby from your own point of view? When you first saw rugby, did you think, well, you know, that's just, as I say, like American football, but, you know, with different sort of areas of play?
Well, you know, the first time I went to a game, it was very difficult to understand exactly what was going on. You have the general senses, but it seems like, oh, wait, they're going the wrong direction. Or wait a minute, they're going out of bounds or something like that. But once you get it, once you get the excitement and enthusiasm of the game, especially to me, seeing rugby sevens, which is so fast and it's just turning over so quickly. It's just an amazing thing. It's hard to take your eyes off the field. And I think for a large part of the American audience, a potential American audience, it's really going to be an opportunity for the sport to really grow. People are going to be really enthusiastic and really excited about it.
Well, given when it first started in Scotland in 1883, you literally, Lincoln had just been assassinated a few years after that, before that, basically. It's well into the 19th century. It's clearly got that history element that's coming across. If we can come to Stephen for a moment, again, same question. What did you think about, how did you first encounter this magical world of rugby?
Well, it's something that's definitely on our radar. It's a fastest growing team sport in America, and when we had this opportunity to talk to USA Rugby and the opportunity to bid on it and bring it to San Francisco, it just seemed really logical, and it felt like the right place for the sport to be. And thrilled that, you know, for the first time it's coming to the United States, that it's being hosted in San Francisco.
Now, not just that, but you've got the iconic AT&T Park, home to the three-time world champions, the San Francisco Giants, one of Major League Baseball's most historic teams. That's where the games will be performed. It's one of the most spectacular and highly rated sports venues in the USA. Presumably, it's an ideal opportunity for folk like our co-presenter in the studio today, Lauren, if they sort of think, I'll just go to San Francisco for the Rugby Sevens. Because, Lauren, you haven't really had any interest in rugby at all, really.
No, I haven't, but I think the setting would definitely help.
The setting's beautiful. It's right on the waterfront, overlooking the bay. You know, you can get lost just looking at the scenery, and, you know, even if you don't know what's going on in the field, you know, if you're not into rugby, it's still fun to go to the games, because if you're not looking in the field, you could look at the stands and see all the people in the costumes and enjoying it. It's a whole spectacle in itself. It's theater in the stands.
Way, exactly. And, of course, you've got the San Francisco Bay Area, so you've got, again, the iconography of the cities. And just returning, of course, to the streets of San Francisco, presumably you can even go over that little hill and leap over it, as featured in so many ways, as the car sort of bounces. Not really a safe driving thing to do, but...
Yeah, we encourage people to be cautious when they drive, you know. But there is so much to see, and you're right, Alex, there's so much to see in San Francisco, whether you're coming for the Rugby World Cup or not, and there's so much to see, whether it's, you know, riding your bicycle across the Golden Gate Bridge, or taking a cable car, eating fresh seafood at Fisherman's Wharf, or even nearby San Francisco, you know, checking out the Redwoods, which are just 20 minutes north, or the wine country in Napa and Sonoma. There's such a value, and there's so much diversity in the Bay Area, and it's really a great opportunity. So if you're interested in coming to the game, it's a great opportunity to come to the game and experience part of Northern California while you're there. Or if you can't come to the game, you can still come to San Francisco. It's a year-round destination with all sorts of activities waiting for you at any time of the year.
Do you know, I think when last we spoke a wee while ago, we talked about the 1967 Summer 11, 50 years since then, we were sort of saying, look, we have a regular weekly slot with correspondents from Los Angeles and San Diego and so on. I think we've been remiss. We have not actually covered San Francisco. We've got to put that right straight away. Because exactly. You know, the message is clearly there. Lauren, any questions you'd like to put to either Joe or Stephen about San Francisco, or indeed the Rugby Sevens?
Well, not particularly a question, but I went to San Francisco in May, and you're completely right about kind of the outskirts and the things to see outside of the city. We went to Muir Woods,
yep,
and that was just fantastic. We had a great time in Sausalito as well, so yeah, definitely more to San Francisco than just the Bay Area.
It's interesting because it's a major metropolitan area, but also the accessibility of the nature and the surrounding area is so easy, it's so quick. You don't have to go very far at all to find out that you're really in a natural wonderland.
Yeah, definitely.
Sausalito, of course, featured in the Star Trek 4 movie, The Voyage Home. It's just so many things. Destiny to work for that, probably. Any tips in terms of who do you think is going to win the Rugby Sevens World Cup? I know it could be a sort of hostage to fortune, this, but Stephen, from your good self, first, I mean, assuming we've got all four home nations there, Scotland, England, Ireland, and Wales. Is that going to be a possibility? Or in the case of no, we'll have the USA obviously doing it. Because, yeah, let's face it, you've got to do it now because you're not in the other Association Football Soccer World Cup.
You know? Exactly. Well, I have to root for the home team on this and the USA, but it would be great to see a England matchup or, you know, Ireland. Anybody from the UK would be terrific.
A USA Ireland final or USA England final, that could be just phenomenal. From your own point of view, Joe, any thoughts?
You know what? I'm for whoever wins. I think that the whole experience is going to be fantastic, and I think that I'll be rooting there. I'm going to be rooting for Team GB. I'm going to be rooting for just the success of the tournament itself, because I think the people who are going to be in the stands is obviously going to be people that are supporting their country, their team, but also just to support the sport. And I think that that's kind of what my attitude is going to be there. I'm going to be to support Rugby Sevens and do everything I can to make sure that this World Cup is the best one ever.
I'm sure it will be, because, you know, when they state these things, I know it's something that's unique to the San Francisco mentality, that it will go with it. It's like the Barbary Coast all over again.
Absolutely.
Where can people go to find out further information about the 2017 Rugby World Cup?
So we encourage people to get their tickets soon, because we know the events are going to sell out, and they can go online to RWC7s, and that's all spelled out, RWCSEVENS.com, and get your ticket information and more details about the tournament, which will be held July 20th through 22nd next summer.
I was going to say, it's 2018, of course. I think I said 2017. They're probably panicking people. So it's like, where? No, it's all right. It's 2018. It's all sorted through for that. Well, gentlemen, it's been a genuine delight connecting with you, good sales. I take it you've had an okay telephonic link with us from your perspective.
It's been great, Alex. Thank you very much for the time.
Well, let's hopefully connect with you on a semi-regular basis and ensure we can spread the word without the Quinn Martin production. But you'll forgive me if we go out with the streets of San Francisco. We salute you. Take
Thank
care
you.
Now.
Thank you.
See, Lauren, one of the advantages of actually having been born in the 20th century is that you get to appreciate series like Quinn Martin's Streets of San Francisco, Carl Malden, Michael Douglas, of course Richard Hatch in the latter scenarios, well worth saying. You can see it on CBS Action as well every so often, or indeed just purchase the videos. What better way to actually round off the whole notion of that San Francisco experience? Of course, you have actually been to San Francisco, as I say, which I have yet to make that journey, so you would endorse what we've been talking about in terms of the Rugby Sevens 2018 go to San Francisco.
Absolutely.
And so we come to
almost the conclusion of this morning's little sequence of programmes, which, as we say, started off with Maureen Lipman in Gibraltar, chatting merrily about the festival there. Less likely to chat happily about, I think, her British Telecom experiences. No, I think she enjoyed that. You know, it's good to see that they're getting together. 25 years ago. So 25 years ago, amazing. Yeah. Through oncology and cancer treatments up at the University of Newcastle, right the way through to, of course, the Olympic champion swimmer who explained why you shouldn't actually drink and swim at the same time. Actually, we didn't really sort of get too far in that, but it's all good. And heaps of others, including Ask and Brian, and the development of that. And when I said we've got Lauren from Ask and Brian coming to the programme again, clearly our main writer and correspondent from Edinburgh, we just felt you had to be together. Because in the summer, you were there when you were making your debut on the whole thing. Deborah's studio, I know he's going to miss the lack of driller noises and hammering that was going on in the last thing. It's all like a radio studio all
is
again.
Is your dungeon finished?
William, that dungeon is 126 miles. I drove away from the dungeon this morning at a relatively brisk pace to actually be here in the... I'm now 150 miles closer to Edinburgh than I was when I woke up this morning at 6 a.m.
I'm touched.
Yeah, you see, exactly. So, Lauren, what have your highlights of the programme sequence been then? Apart from obviously sharing with us the excitement that the workers have obviously left Ask and Brian as well, and that's now available for William Coles to come down with the family and actually check out.
Yeah, I think that the special thing about this show is how eclectic all of the different features are. You know, you get San Francisco and Olympic swimmers in the same... Sure, so it's nice to just have the variety and it's never boring.
Thank you, Lauren. That's very good. And your cheque will be in the post for that sort of scenario. So we like to feel that boredom is something which we never want to even go down that line at all, William. As I'm sure as a regular correspondent you say, no, if one thing can be said, we don't like to bore people.
Yeah, that could actually be the siren slogan. We don't like to bore people, but sometimes we do.
Yeah, okay.
Does it work, or do you know, is the last bit too flippant?
What can I say? I mean, yeah.
William, we don't like to bore people. We love to.
William, stop there. Stop while we're ahead, because otherwise I'll be saying, you know, have you ever been like, I mean, as a journalist, did you ever feel that you were bowing to booze pressure? I mean, this is our swimmer, in case you were wondering, who was this world champion swimmer? It's Mark Foster that we were talking to, as well as the...
Oh, yes.
And you know, the line that, as he would say, you know, he obviously the dosha to celebrate, etc. Now, in journalism, for many years, Geoffrey Barnard has owned well.
Yep.
That sort of theme of, if you're in journalism, you clearly, liquid lunch was a kind of standard way forward.
You should try with some of your guests. If you've got a tough nut to crack as a journalist, route one is alcohol.
See, that explains so much in terms of why, you know, there's so many challenges with respect to the liver, etc. You should actually go to the Drink Aware website and sort this thing through. I mean, it is, on a serious note, it is an issue. I mean, Lauren, you were sharing with us the tales of your university in which, you know, when you were an undergraduate, you felt that there was pressure to effectively sort of get completely pie-eyed on various ways and celebrate and so on. And maybe, you know, I know the Just Say No campaign was very much used in the 1980s, Grange Hill, Lord save us. But maybe it is a case that we have to sort of say, look, reduce, cut down, don't actually go down that line.
Yeah, I think it's not to say no, because I don't think any student is going to be teetotal, or a lot of them aren't. And also, you know, alcohol isn't necessarily bad in moderation, but it was like...
I think we'll qualify that by saying probably proponents of the Muslim faith might well be teetotal, otherwise they'll be carrying all sorts of other issues from that perspective, but I just roll that out there. In case you're wondering why we're focusing on this one, well, it says Alcohol Awareness Week. And I know you're going to say something like, I'm aware there is alcohol. Sorry.
you know what's happening in Scotland? They've just finally, Nicola Sturgeon's got the go-ahead to bring in minimum pricing. So a unit of alcohol is now a minimum price of a quid, which means that you can no longer get these 2-litre bottles of cider for a couple of quid.
Yes, the days of Rab C. Nesbitt and his proverbial a string vest probably beginning to come to an end. The gender split, and as a romance writer you might be interested in this, that in the UK, according to this survey, almost half of men between 35 and 75 who drink alcohol do so to fit in, to be liked,
or to avoid feeling left out, whereas only just over a third of women, 36%, feel that that's why they actually take alcohol, etc. So women seem to be able to withstand social pressures more than men.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult when you're in the pub and everyone else is, or more likely lunch, and everyone else is drinking. You're thinking, yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah.
Well, maybe the whole campaign should start now to effectively say, just say no, as we said. We'll get something sorted through on that basis. We were here to actually share with Lauren the joy of the celebration that's taking place on December the 3rd, which, as I've said, you know, where does one go? You've got William Shatner and David Hasselhoff in Manchester for the love of sci-fi, and Dolph Lundgren, and Zach from Gremlins as well. You've got the Lincoln Food and Gift Fair, which indeed Sally Monday tried desperately to get William's attention there, even on the basis of putting together a quiz so that his children can be kept happy on the basis, and his teenage boys will not be surly when they say, nah, nah, etc. And now we have another offering for that weekend, William, on the 3rd of December.
Oh, wow. Am I going to be able to do the whole lot, do you reckon?
Well, it's the 3rd of December, a frost fair, Stuart Park in Teesside. Lauren, sell it to William, please.
So it's our annual event. We've got loads of different food stalls and craft stalls, so you can buy all of your Christmas goodies. The Friends of Stuart Park are putting on a Santa's Grotto, so Santa Claus himself will be making an appearance. And you can get little selection boxes. And then the special thing about this year is that the Central Lodge, the building that we've been renovating, will be open to the public for the first time since the Hard Hat tours. So it'll be a chance to have a look around the completed building. And we'll also be providing some heritage talks all about the history of the park and the history of the building.
And
does it have a dungeon as well?
It does not, unfortunately.
No dungeon, but chestnuts will be roasting on the open fire. I have been.
It's sounding a lot like the food fair. I mean, maybe you need to have 1.5 tickets for.
Well, no, you might say that, but I think it's fair to say Stuart Park much more out in the open.
Yes.
Much more out in the open. So, you know, you've got lots of sort of freshness and briskness and de-icers.
And they've also got Santa as well.
Yes, and we've also got a local choir as well, so they'll be singing Christmas carols.
Yeah.
Okay, what's that highlight going to be? Is Saren, I understand, is sponsoring the other one and is coming up with a cup for the best bit of food that the other lot are serving. Alex, are you going to be able to give this lot a cup as well?
Do you know, I think we might. Well, when you say cup, of course, as it pains to make clear, and you can check the podcast confirmation.
Mug,
exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, big difference there. You know, mug and possibly pen. You know, so work through that sort of system. I'm sure, as we're literally near neighbours, and in fact, the studio that Lauren and myself are in this morning is probably about a mile away from the park, if that. Less than a mile.
Yeah,
half a mile, etc. So I think we'll sort of say, well, look, we're friends. You know, we're good neighbours. You know, and that's when neighbours become good friends, as they used to say in a series.
I think that's lost on your listeners, that one.
Do you think so?
Well, yeah, I think so.
I suggest YouTube, Jack Smethurst, Love Thy Neighbour, and you'll never think, you will think, how did they ever make that? But never mind. It's another line entirely. Lauren, anything you'd like to ask Edinburgh correspondent and general fine soul who, Sam, I mean, this is the thing that shocked me this morning. I can admit it now, actually, with yourself and the listener. It's all very well. Nicholas Parsons, Anne Widdecombe, Jenny Murray, of course, and Maureen Lipman being at the Gibraltar 5th Literary Festival. Why William Coles didn't get the invite? I presume he turned down.
Wow. Yeah. You know? I've got to get on to my publisher and say, get me to Gibraltar. I'd love to go and see those dates.
Well, I mean, every morning, Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, from the Gibraltar Chronicle, actually does the weather for Lincoln from Gibraltar. And she can do Teesside as well. So, you know, I just think we're going to have to sort that through. Anyway, have you got any questions you want to put to William at this stage?
I'd just like to know your definite opinion. Will you be seeing David Hasselhoff, or will you be coming to see Santa at the Frost Fair?
Oh, putting on the spot. Nice one, Lauren. Many people have tried
David
over the years.
Hasselhoff. He's great. I mean, he doesn't mind taking the piss out of himself, which is rather endearing.
Yeah, we like to say Mickey at this time of the day, even on a podcast.
Sorry.
Or Wire.
Did he not marry dating some waitress from Wales or something like that, who was half his age, in the approved movie star fashion?
I'm not sure in the post-Weinstein world we can even begin to start opening up on where that just necessarily is not necessarily appropriate topics of conversation, although we have featured his daughter Hayley Hasselhoff fairly regularly, and she has become a semi-regular contributor. She's quite a bright soul, basically. David, as yet, we haven't spoken to, but I think it's probably to do with get into my car and slam the door or whatever, but still there's... I don't think he answered Lauren ultimately.
He used what
am I going to see that? Yes, I'd love to see the hop. Yeah, you know, we are old mates. We go back years and years. Yes, I'm sure he'll won't need his memory jogging at all. Oh, Bill, how are you?
And that is just one of the whole sort of rationale things. What will you be doing this weekend, by the way, William? Because this is the first time for a long time we have connected with you on a Friday. Anything planned out for Edinburgh, which presumably is gearing up for its festivities?
I will be trotting around after my children, taking them to various matches, that sort of stuff. Nothing of special note. I think I might be doing a bit of... I might cook a chicken. Is that right? Cooking a chicken?
Cooking a chicken. Technically, being Friday, it should really be fish, but I'm not going to sort of make too many sort of levelling points about this point of view. Because,
rather daringly, with most roasts, including chicken, we do Yorkshire pudding. The kids are crazy for Yorkshire pudding, and you have to have Yorkshire pudding with everything.
And it needs
including lasagna.
Yeah, it needs to be. So Toad in the Hole is a regular fixture in the Coles household. And finally, rugby sevens. Is it a sport that you've ever considered, or would you consider going to see the Rugby Sevens World Cup in San Francisco next year?
I quite like it on TV. I liked it at the Olympics when I think Fiji won their gold, and it was a much better match than the regular, you know, Six Nations.
And
stuff.
The reason I mentioned it is because in the year 1883, 1 year before William Coles emerged on the planet, we actually had the very first Rugby Sevens tournament in Scotland 135 years ago.
Really? Yeah. Who was playing?
Well, Scotland and England, I believe, in terms of the Rugby Sevens. Really, I mean, you can confirm that system, but yes, and the brand new location for the 135th tournament next year is the United States of America.
Yay!
Wow. Didn't think they liked rugby much.
Well, if you listen to Joe D'Alessandro, President and Chief Executive Officer of San Francisco Travel, and Stephen Revetrea, Senior Vice President of Giants Enterprises, I think you'll find, and Lauren can confirm this hopefully, two souls who are passionate rugby fans.
Definitely.
And passionate San Franciscans as well. So that's pretty much it then. We've wrapped up the sequence. Unless there's any final thoughts you want to raise, William, about the notion of attending Frost Fairs or checking out Ask and Brian at Stewart Park or any of those sort of scenarios, the floor is temporarily yours.
Will there be any skating at the Frost Fair?
No, unfortunately, we don't have a skating rink.
You've got animals, though.
We do, yes. We have our goats and our llamas,
exactly.
Chickens.
You know, so you got goats, llamas and chickens.
And a few
And
goats.
Reindeer.
No reindeer.
Maybe the chickens could have antlers, little cute antlers.
Yeah,
for
maybe
the dog.
We can... we've got a few deer.
Exactly.
So maybe we'll
I've got a good idea. Why don't you have a special thing for the kids, and they can pay a fiver, and for a fiver they can be Santa's elf for half an hour.
That sounds good. I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah. You could have him, them all running around, getting his gifts. I was Santa's elf.
I think there might be elf and safety issues on that one, but maybe I'll just...
Lick it up in the air for you, Alex, and I knew you'd hit it out of the park.
Exactly.
Just the mention of elf would do it.
It's the balance. You know, it is the balance. Lauren, as you've co-hosted so ably and capably after having had a week in which you were quite poorly, and we even had standby presenters ready to come in, so you made it through the whole system. Would you like to ask William Coles those last two questions, please?
Have you had a reasonably...
interesting telephonic experience. Yes, I have. I've loved it. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you very much. And will you be coming back on?
Just as soon as Mad Alex asked me.
Fantastic.
That hopefully isn't the sort of Dizzy Rascal Bonkers reference, because that's another line entirely. Farewell.
Thank you.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know.
off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance! Caress the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly! When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. The point, no